Now, the book of James, chapter 3, has this amazing, familiar thought about the incredible power of words. And you may have read this passage before, but the Bible says the tongue is such a small part of your body, but it can become like, well, James says, a spark that sets a giant forest fire, or it can be like a rudder. It's a small piece of a boat, but moves a massive vessel. Words, James says, has a massive impact on you. Words can change your life. Words can change the world for the better or the worse. Like I remember someone at my old church, they worked in the city, and they tried to explain to me how the stock market works, and they did not succeed, but he tried to make it really simple. And what he said is that money moving around is just words. Like people say things like, this is a growing company, and that's all it takes. People say things, and words lead to lots of actions, and they throw money at things, and that's how the stock market works, he said. Or you hear bad things about places, and you know, money just disappears. And it's not even like real actions or assets a lot of the time, it's just words. Like I don't know if you saw the headlines this week, but I read that Mark Zuckerberg lost $7 billion in one day. And he didn't actually lose anything. It's not like an envelope he lost somewhere. It's not destroyed. Nothing burned to the ground. $7 billion is just some things happened this week that got lots of people talking. And those words had a price tag of $7 billion. Words are so powerful. But there is something even smaller, harder to see, and more impactful than words. Today we're going to talk about thoughts, words that transform into actions. It all starts with what you're thinking. And today's message is so important because you cannot live right when your thoughts are wrong. Because nobody can see it. You may not be saying what you're thinking out loud. You're just, even just what you're doing in your free time, you're letting your mind run free. Like those thoughts matter and make a huge difference in how you end up. Listen to me carefully. Your wrong thoughts can mess you up. In fact, some of you know this because you find yourself at the end of the day far away from where you wanted the day to go because you end up on a thought train that takes you to a place you don't want to end up. Now, here's our verses that give us so much hope today. I just want you to think about this. It's from Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 15 through 17. The Apostle Paul writes, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts, and whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." That's what we're doing today. Our hearts, our heads are always active. And sometimes you know that it's annoying, right? You're trying to sleep and you've got thoughts going over and over in your head and you're anxious about the news or about family, about the world. God says that the peace of God ought to be the thing ruling over your thoughts. This is a hard question, right? What rules your head right now? What do you think about before you fall asleep? What do you think about while you're driving and the radio's off? What do you think about in your free time? Like the Bible says that the message of Christ should be dwelling richly in your head. When you talk to people, God's word should affect, valuing God should affect how you talk, which affects how you act, which affects how you end up. Levi Lesko, you're hearing a lot of him today, said that every thought that you have is like a train, which is why they call them trains of thought. And trains go places. And before you get on a train, I guess I'm going that way, you should ask yourself, where's the train going? And what am I going to be like if I get on the train here? If I think this way, how does it affect where I'm going? Ralph Waldo Emerson famously said, "Sow a thought, reap an action." And that seems right. No one even sees what you're thinking, but it affects what you say and what you do. It affects your whole life because you sow an action, you sow a habit. You sow a habit, you reap character. You sow character, you reap a destiny. Like where you end up in life, what your days look like, is really affected by what thought you get on. And science has started to show what Scripture has said all along. And this is not my expertise, but brain experts say that whatever you let yourself think about, you make little grooves in your neural pathways, they say. And you got to talk to someone else about the science of all this, but apparently there are neural pathways, and the first time you think about something is harder than the second time. The third time is a lot easier, but you figure this out already. Every time you let your head go somewhere, it becomes easier to do that again, which is kind of bad news because some of us have our heart and head dominated by a mental thought process that holds us back from what God wants us to be, and then we just feel almost helpless. We're out of control and helpless because sometimes we end up in a place mentally that just messes us up, and we find ourselves sad and fearful, and I don't know if you've done this, but sometimes I'll find myself just in a bad mood, and I catch myself sort of yelling at the kids or something, just doing stuff I don't want to do, and I just go, wait, why am I in such a bad mood? And when I have to figure that out, it's sometimes nothing actually happened. The only thing that I did was allow my head to go someplace that brought me to a bad spot. I think we all do this. So I got some really good news. If you've ever felt like your thoughts mess you up, I've got some great news. You can get your thought life under the control of God. There's a way to do this. You don't have to ride every thought train to its logical destination. You can have freedom. This is what I think God's word wants to help us with. Think about this verse. This is just incredible. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Paul writes, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Like, this is possible. Part of being a Christian is taking your every thought and putting it in the bounds of God's word. And it's not easy. You've got to do it constantly, and then you got to do it again, and then you got to do it again, and today and tomorrow is the constant thing. We keep demolishing arguments, but every time you find yourself concentrating on things that we'll talk about that bring you to a bad destination, you can get freedom from that. And it starts by just reminding the thought of who's in charge. God is in charge. And reminding yourself of, here's an idea, go through the discipline of replacing harmful thoughts with good thoughts. I don't know if you know this, but God has a lot of commands, and a lot of them are about what you do, a lot of them about what you say, but God also has commands about something no one can see. God cares about what you think. Check out this verse, Philippians 4, 8, and 9. God says, "Finally, brothers and sisters," check out this list, "whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, do you know what you should do? Think about such things. And whatever you've learned from or received or heard from me or seen from me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." You ever think about this? God commands your thought life. And you may think, my head is someplace nobody can see or hear, but God insists on being in control of your head by telling you what you ought to think about. Like, in the privacy of your own head, stop thinking about certain things, start thinking about better things to be at your best. When you think about things that are true, and noble, and reputable, and authentic, and gracious, when you think about the best, not the worst, when you focus on the beautiful, not the ugly, things of praise, not things to curse, it changes you. In fact, Paul says at the end, put into practice what you learned from me. And do you know what happens when you think that way? The God who makes everything work together, the God of peace, will be with you when you're thinking about things that are good. Like, it's such a tiny battle that nobody sees, but if you can win it, it changes your life. And something just shifts. Something happens when you go through the hard work. It's annoying to think about what you're thinking because it's all in your head. But doing an audit of what you're thinking and how you're thinking and what you're doing, if you can replace it with good things, it will change your life. Let me tell you how careful you have to be. It's almost like you have to put your thoughts through the TSA at the airport. Like, I haven't flown in a while, but I carry a tiny pocket knife everywhere, and if I get an envelope in the mail, I can open it and not risk getting a paper cut. I have a very dangerous job, you know, I could cut myself, so I need a knife, of course. And I forget about it. Like, every once in a while, right before I get an airplane, I'll pull out my keys to put them in the thing, and I go, oh no, I am in trouble. And I've lost enough of these things at airports. So one time, I didn't want to tell anybody, so I didn't want to throw this away. So I stuck it in my bag next to a metal pen, next to an aluminum cup. And I thought maybe the x-ray machine wouldn't pick it up. But the x-ray machine the airports have is really, really good. They caught my teeny, teeny, tiny knife, and they wouldn't let it by. Don't do that, by the way. My teeny, tiny knife was a big, big problem. But that's how careful you have to be about your thoughts. They're sneaky. Like, put your thoughts through an x-ray machine. Guard your mind. Think about what you're thinking about. Be that careful. Spend your time thinking about what you're thinking about and go, you know, this thought that I'm thinking about right now, where will this thought train finish? Is this going to lead me to a place of peace? Is this a good thought? Is it a beautiful thought? Will this thing that I'm thinking, is it helping me? Is it helping others? Or is this going to lead me toward being prideful or miserable or depressed? Or this one, it's so tiny, it's hiding behind a pen, but this one here is going to add to my stress and hurt my body and hurt my mind, and this is going to stop me from being a good witness. Like, some of us have to go, I can't think about this right now because Jesus is King. I'm not going to allow this to take up rent-free space in my head. I'm not going to give it time. You have to be that careful to look at thoughts that may give your heart terror. And sometimes there are thoughts that develop into habits. Like, a lot of us have thought trains that lead us to bad habits, and we just get on every day, and we're just not happy where we've ended up, but there we are. But over time, you can change those mental pathways. Science says you can build a new, you can fire up new synapses. The Bible says you should do things. You may not be able to confiscate thoughts, but you can replace them. You don't have a real x-ray, but let me give you the x-ray question to use. If you got thoughts going through your head, if the newspaper's open, if social media is scrolling by, ask yourself really simply, is the thing going over and over in my mind, does it bring glory to God? The test is that simple, and that's it. Every time you're having a self-conversation or you're having a dialogue and you get to pick what train you're on, here's how you pick. Does it glorify God? This is really important. The thought train that you get on determines where you end up. And you can kind of go, okay, I'm going to marinate on this and worry about that and stress about this and obsess about this thing that I can't really change this. But where am I going to end up? We're so easily insecure about things. Why did someone forget about me? Why am I a victim here? Like, we believe lies about ourselves, about others, that things will never get better, that people don't love me like they should, that like we just get thoughts of greed and fear and pride. Our thoughts are so tempting and enticing to get onto because so many thoughts just appeal to our flesh, but you have the power to get on a different train of thought. And if you have a thought that doesn't honor Jesus, doesn't glorify God, you should replace it. And you can replace it with different source of thoughts. How do you do it? We'll get back to the text. But the best tool that God gives you is a different set of thoughts from Scripture. Or just thinking about who you are. So many of our sad thoughts are about our own identity. Who did God make you to be? Who does God say you are? You are created to bring God glory. That's who you are. Therefore, you could say, I am not going to allow thoughts in my head. I will not think about things that threaten my identity because God tells me who I am. Where my thoughts are disrupted because there's no peace and I'm worried about so many things, you got to remind yourself of what's true. Your identity doesn't come from so many things that are insecure. Your identity isn't from your job or your talent or your relationships or your looks or from your health. Like, your identity, you know this, it comes from the fact that you were created by God. That my comfort, we say this a lot, it is not what other people say about you. Your comfort comes from the fact that I belong, you belong, body and soul, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Read it in the handout. But so many of your negative thoughts boil down to who you are and how other people look at you. So you got to fight back against this. Ask yourself, when you're thinking or eating, or the text said eating or drinking or whatever you do, if you're not sure what to do, do the thing that brings glory to God. Because that's what you're made for. You belong to Jesus. So, I don't know, ask, what would someone who lives for the Lord's glory do? What would it look like? How would it play out in this situation? Would a person glorifying God be, I don't know, lazy or late? Would a person who glorifies and honors God cut corners? Like, this affects everything, right? Whatever you're doing, Paul says, eating or drinking, whatever you do, do everything to the glory of God, which works itself out every single day, honoring God with excellence and kindness and being present and loving people, living your God and be more like Jesus when you're encountering people who are maybe annoying. And by the way, put up the Colossians passage again. He's writing Colossians. Do you know where the Apostle Paul was when he wrote this? The man was in prison. You know what he's doing in prison? He's super uncomfortable putting his time into encouraging Christians. Here's a guy who like actually has a conspiracy theory workout. He's really anxious about so many things where he could be. He goes, instead of letting those thoughts bring me down, I'm going to let the peace of God rule in my heart. I'm going to bless people. I mean, the guy's in prison, having the peace of God ruling in his heart and guarding what he allows himself to think about. Like, this whole thing helped him in Paul's time of, you know, unprecedented stress and uncertainty, which for him was being in prison, being tortured, possibly being about to being executed. Like, this is a big deal. Doing this changes how you face real obstacles. This helps you when you feel panicked. In fact, when your thoughts are bringing you to a place of worrying or anxiety, when you're doom scrolling or watching too much cable news instead of thinking about God's glory, I want you to hear this verse from Philippians 4, 6, and 7. God says, do not be anxious in anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing. Now, I will point out, this is a little nitpicky, I think, but he doesn't say feel. If you look at it, it says do not feel anxious ever, because that's impossible. He doesn't say don't ever feel worried, because that's just unrealistic. And I say that because the Apostle Paul and other passage seems to be vulnerable enough to talk about moments where he feels anxious. He talks about feeling overwhelmed and overloaded at times, even just being in a sort of feeling of despair. So he knows exactly what it's like to feel things. But despite it occurred to me that sometimes we feel anxious, but we don't really have to be anxious. So he says, no matter how you feel right now, don't be anxious, but instead in everything, in prayer and supplication with gratitude, make your request known to God. Like take all the things you feel anxious about, take that thought that's going to bring you to a bad place and replace it with gratitude and replace it with prayer. And do you know what happens when you do that? Is the peace of God which transcends all understanding. So Paul's going, I'm in prison. I'm being threatened. Like, I should be freaking out right now, but normally this would cause me to lose my cool, and I am a little worried, but this peace that I don't even understand, that doesn't make sense, is guarding my heart and mind in Christ. You can't delete a thought as much as that'd be nice, but you can replace it. And those anxious, stressful thoughts can be banished like darkness is banished from a room simply by turning on the lights. If you would do the work of examining the thoughts in your head and taking your focus off the things that worry you and replace it with thinking about blessing and gratitude and worship, and just asking God to help. God, can you help? This is really bad. Your life will be different. Go back to Colossians. The one verse says, I love how it says you could fix this. Here's what you should do when your heart is not being ruled by peace. Try this. Let the word of God dwell in you deeply. One translation says, let God's word have the run of your house. Give God's word plenty of space. This is huge. You can change the way you think, which changes the way you act, which changes the way you are, which changes how you end up, really by simply spending time in God's word. Where you end up at the end of the day, at the end of an hour, at the end of your life, the kind of man or woman you become is affected drastically by the thoughts that you have in your head that no one else can see. No one else can put a stop to this. You get in a thought train and you end up in a place that you shouldn't be, and you're not even sure how you got there, but it all started by your thoughts. And today can be the day that you start to change that. Today can be a day where you take back your life by taking back your thoughts, by living your life in the presence of 10,000 reasons to be thankful, by taking an x-ray of your head. Think about what you're thinking about and letting the Word of God dwell in you richly as you read it, as you memorize it. This is why small groups are so important. If you're a guy, you should go over there next Monday and talk to other men about God's Word. Memorize it, think about it, pray about it, and it will transform the vision of your heart, which transforms where you end up. So Father in heaven, I pray that you would, by the power of your Spirit, Father, could you free us from thoughts that take us captive, from thoughts that make us prideful or insecure, thoughts that make us worried or fearful. Father, can you give us the discipline to replace thoughts that are harmful or useless with the light and riches of your word? Father, we pray really simply that you, God, would be our vision, that you, as we just read, would be the Lord of our heart in good times and bad times. Could you be at the forefront of our thought life, not just today, not just in the Lord's house on the Lord's day at this hour, but God, could you help us to think about you and your word and your blessings every day? And may that change us into the men and women that you want us to be. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.